Let's read together in God's Word. In the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 1. You'll find this at page 1165 in the Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 1. Paul has been seeking to demonstrate to the church in Corinth how much strength there is in weakness. And if he has anything to boast about, then he will boast of his weaknesses, because they were God's opportunity to supply the strength that he needed to engage with the challenges of ministry. And he goes on in chapter 12 to underline another aspect of his experience as an apostle, and to set this against some of the claims of the leadership in Corinth. Chapter 12 at verse 1. Paul says, I must go on boasting. Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to look into these deep and challenging truths. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would take the restlessness of all our hearts and fill them tonight with the assurance of your understanding and of your good purpose for all of us, that we might be all that you want us to be in the service of the kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, it has been said more than once this year, and perhaps it's maybe even been said from the pulpit in St. Paul's, that this year has been a year when many famous people have passed on. In fact, somebody has calculated that more famous people have died this year than in any other year. It's amazing the time people can find to calculate these things. But like many others of my generation, and perhaps a few that are still a bit older, you know, the news of Leonard Cohen's death came as something of a shock to us. Elderly fellow that he was, I believe at one of his last concerts, he spoke about something silly that he'd done when he was 62. And he said, well, you know, I was just a crazy kid. And I'm sure many of us still feel that that crazy kid is still in us. Very complex individual, Leonard Cohen, in many ways. And he never ever claimed to be a Christian in a way that we might understand. But there were so many things in his songs that seemed to say that he was one of these people that you might pronounce to be not far from the kingdom. Certainly in his understanding of suffering, which he explored at some length, as many of us will be aware, in his songs. And there's one of his which is a particular favourite of mine. It's called Anthem. And it has a refrain that says these words: "Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Now, that's pretty close to the understanding of suffering that we find in the scriptures, that suffering is not entirely a negative experience, but that it can be God's opportunity to shine his light into an individual life or even the life of a community. And that was certainly the experience of the Apostle Paul, and a message that he was seeking to bring to this church in Corinth. They had difficulty understanding this, but Paul was quite clear that it was in the cracks in his life, the things that spoke about vulnerability, the things that spoke about limitation, the things that spoke about weakness, it was in those cracks that God had got in and had enriched his life in ways that were beyond understanding. It was through the cracks that Paul deepened his experience of all that God was. And it was through the cracks that he was led on to service as an apostle in Christ's church. Paul's experience, as we've learned throughout this letter, as we've gone through it, that very often it's when we come to the very end of ourselves. It's when we've dug deep into our own human resources and we've really got nothing left, that God supplies the resources that are needed. This is an opportunity to teach us something about his power, something about his love, something about his good purpose. In those times when we've really got nothing more to offer. And that was a wavelength that, by and large, the Corinthian church was not on. In their culture, what mattered more than anything else, and I didn't sit up all night thinking about this alliteration, folks, it just came in three words beginning with S: success, style, and strength. These were the things that mattered to these people who had absorbed the Greco-Roman culture, which was looking for perfection in everything, even in body shape. People go on about this as being a modern thing. It wasn't. Look at the statues that these people produced. They were into perfection. They wanted to see success. They wanted style. They wanted strength. And if there were leaders in the church that were not giving off those vibes, then they were quite willing to stand up and question them. Not just in their strength, not just in their style, but in the depths of their being. I mean, look at Paul. Here he was, this wee Hebrew fella coming amongst them. He was subject to illness. We've gone through last week the physical deprivations that he'd undergone. That would leave a physical mark upon him. He didn't deliver the most impressive discourses when he was there amongst the church. In fact, everything in his life spoke of weakness, spoke of the cracks. And the leadership in Corinth, or those who were placing themselves above Paul, they were taking all this as evidence that you couldn't really regard, purely you can't regard Paul as an apostle. Look at the state of him. Those scars, the evidence of so much buffeting in his life. And that really was coming from a people who really did not understand the cross. And they really didn't understand the implications of the cross for people who would follow Jesus. I read a quote to you last week from Jeffrey Grogan, who said that the idea of a man hanging on a cross was not something that would immediately appeal to these sophisticated Corinthians. And they certainly didn't see the implications for themselves in the way that the Master had trod. But this was one of Paul's big challenges, to try and convey this to these people and how he himself had discovered strength in weakness. He began his letter in referring to that experience that he had somewhere in Asia, when we don't know exactly what was going on, but he says that he despaired of his life. He was brought to the end of himself. He thought that the sentence of death was upon him. He had nothing left to give. But he said, I now understand what that was all about. God was seeking to teach me how to depend on him entirely and not to depend on myself. And this is what he explores a wee bit more fully in the passage that we read. It's a famous text, of course. Paul speaking about his thorn in the flesh. But there's so much here. And you have to approach all of this with great humility, because this is Paul really giving us some insight into the deepest recesses of his soul. We need to understand a wee bit of the background to this, though. Paul is speaking of visions and revelations. And some of these super apostles that he calls them, those who say that they've got a better gospel than Paul, they've got a more powerful spirit than Paul talks about, they've got a more improved gospel that can be preached to the world that will be more amenable to the ways of the world. They were claiming that they had visions and revelations that they could set beside everything that Paul was teaching. And Paul's listening to all this, and he knows it's nonsense. And he just has to say something in favor of himself. The visions and revelations that he himself has had. Now, he doesn't want to boast. He doesn't want to be like them. But he approaches it in this way. He says, Suppose I tell you about a man who 14 years ago was raised up to the third heaven. And he saw things that are actually indescribable. He saw things which he was not permitted to share with them. Now, what would you say about a man like that? You would say that this was an impressive experience that he had. Just to clarify, the third heaven, the Hebrews generally thought of heaven being in three stages. There was the heaven where the birds flew, there was the heaven where the stars shone, and up above that, there was the third heaven where God was. And this man that Paul is speaking about has been taken into the very presence of the eternal God. And on one level, that is certainly impressive, to be set alongside the experiences of the people who were giving Paul such a hard time. But he doesn't want to be like them. He doesn't want to boast about that, because the best thing he can boast about at this particular moment is not these unsurpassing experiences that he's had in the very presence of God. Because what is keeping him going in the everyday witness of an apostle are those moments when he has known the power of God in times of weakness. This is what's keeping him going. And you see, this is where we really have to grasp this, friends, about the status of an apostle. And you've heard me on this countless times. But, you know, I get a wee bit irritated sometimes, you know, when you hear folks saying, what we need to do is to listen to Jesus. Paul, let's just... Somebody said to me not so long ago that they're looking forward to the day when I can get through a sermon without mentioning Paul. That was kind of half serious, half joking. But, you know, what we're talking about here is an apostle. Someone who at one stage in his experience, probably more so at the very beginning of his apostleship, when he was taken into the very presence of the eternal God. And he was given revelations that not everybody was given. And, you know, he says in the passage that when this happened to him 14 years ago, which was probably pretty close to the beginning of his life as an apostle, he can't explain it. He said, I don't know whether I was taken bodily into the presence of God or whether it was something within me that was taken into the presence of God. All I know is that I was in paradise. Now, you've got to make up your minds about this, folks. Is he a liar? Is he deranged? Or is he telling the truth? And you know, if a man like that, with experiences like that, comes to me with insights into Christ and into the purpose of God, then I really think I have to listen. But he sets that aside. I'm not going to boast about that, he says. What I'm going to boast about is the continuing experience that I have in God. Through my experience in those days when the cracks begin to show and the light shines in. That is what is keeping me going. And that's very much like the whole Christian experience, isn't it, friends? And particularly as we come to the Lord's table tonight and we see the symbols of bread and wine that are going to fill our hands at some point in the service. And we remember that old hymn which describes the experience of the experience of coming to Christ and knowing the grace of God in our lives. And the hymn writer says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's nothing to boast about in being a Christian, except that something has happened to us. That God has reached down into our lives. And we have been given the grace to respond. So that when he says, take this bread and eat it, take this cup and drink from it, once again we renew that bond that we have with Jesus. Not that we're special people, not that we're morally perfect, not that we don't have any cracks, but that we're totally dependent upon him. For the strength we need, for the love we need, for the power that we need. And Paul, he learned this lesson the hard way because he tells us how he was kept in mind of this, how he was kept dependent on God. Because he tells us in verse 7 that to keep me from being conceited, because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, loads of theories about the thorn in his flesh. I personally have always inclines towards the idea that what Paul's talking about here was a physical illness. Because the actual Greek, what it talks about is a stake driven into the flesh. That's a very physical image. But no less a person than John Calvin has said that perhaps Paul was talking more about a temptation that threatened to bring him apart. And no less a person than Martin Luther has said that Paul was talking about his enemies in the church. Quite often in the Old Testament, the enemies of the people of God were said to be a thorn in the flesh. So am I going to argue with Calvin? Am I going to argue with Martin Luther? Let's just say that the thorn was certainly an experience which was profound, which was painful, and which threatened to overwhelm Paul at times. You know, he calls it a messenger of Satan. You know, how often, you know, in the past, you know, I've gone to visit folk and, you know, they've described their experience to me as hellish. And that's basically what Paul is saying. Something which is bringing him to the end of himself. But isn't it interesting that his response is very much like Jesus in Gethsemane? Paul says, I prayed 3 times. You know, people have said to me, maybe if he prayed more than 3 times, God might have healed him. What it means is, he prayed time and time again for this thorn to be extracted from his life. Just as Jesus prayed that the cup might pass from him, the cup of suffering. That moment when Jesus in Gethsemane was quite literally terrified at the prospect of appearing before a holy God as the Son of the world. And Paul knows something of this. Whatever this experience was, whether it was illness, whether it was temptation, whether it was the hostility of his enemies, it was threatening to take him apart. But the message that he received, and it's clear, isn't it, in verse 9, the message that he received from his God was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The thorn's going to stay there, Paul. I'm not going to pull it out, because it's serving a purpose. It's keeping you in that state where I can use you as my apostle. When you're weak, I can give you the strength. When the cracks are beginning to show, my light will come in. And this is something very profound, friends, which is not easy, but which we're constantly having to learn. And it's this, that sometimes suffering shapes our lives towards that pattern that God wants to see in our lives, the very pattern of Jesus' life. You know, there's that old prayer which says, O Christ, the master carpenter, who at the last, through wood and nails, purchased man's whole salvation, wield well your tools in the workshop of this world, so that we who come to your bench, rough-hewn, may be molded to a truer beauty of your hand. Now, molded to a truer beauty of your hand, you know, there's a nice thought, but the process is that the rough edges are knocked off. And that can be painful. But it's the painful moments that are God's opportunity to enable us to grow. And you know, it's a wonderful thing for those of us, particularly in ministry, And I was speaking to a few fellas during the week who have had months and months off through illness of whatever kind. What's good for us to know that even when we're set aside like that, we're still involved in ministry because God is supplying us with the comfort, the encouragement, the hope that we need so that we can bring this in to our ministry when we're restored. That's what Paul says at the beginning of 2 Corinthians. He speaks about receiving the comfort of Christ so that we can share it with others in their times of need. That's an amazing thought, that. You know, even when we're set aside and we can do nothing, God is providing us with that comfort that we can share with others when once again we're set back on the road. Paul's conclusion. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. It was a long, long time ago now, but I remember a senior colleague saying to me that sometimes we have to come to the cracks that we see in our own lives and realize that they're always going to be there. But we reach that understanding that if these cracks are enabling us to serve our Master more fully, if the cracks are enabling us to work more wholeheartedly for His glory, then okay, let's be content with them, however hard it is at times. Because we have this promise that when we're weak, then we're strong. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of Your Spirit, You would enable us, by Your mercy, to continue to worship You as our God and to receive from You all that's needed for us to continue in faithful service. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's sing together, friends, as we approach the Lord's table. Sorry, the offering has now been presented. That's right. And let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to You for all Your blessings and for this grace that You've given us to be able to give of our resources for the benefit of others. And as we now approach Your table, we pray that we would find that grace which enables us to give more fully of ourselves in the service of the kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.